Good morning. Good Monday morning, I should say. It's a beautiful start to your new week. It is January the 15th in the year 2018. Holy shit, we're almost to 2020, and that's like the future. I have lots of energy. This is The Good Talk with Jay Roy. Thank you for joining me once again. This is my second ever episode, and we're not going to waste any time here on The Good Talk. We're going to jump right into The Good Talk. And no holding back. No holding back. Last week, wasn't even a week ago, less than a week ago, recorded my first podcast. I posted that. No regrets. Fantastic. I'm loving the support that I'm getting for it, by the way. I've had a few people now message me saying, hey, I'm listening to this with a few friends right now, not just by myself. We're all enjoying it. We're getting into heated discussions about it. Thank you. And I've even had a few people say, like, we'll watch every episode, we'll stay tuned for more. And it's like, if the people want something, give it to them. Give the people what they want, you know? I feel like it's like that in everything. Everything is just like high school over and over and over. I remember when I was a kid, and I was told that when you get a wife, you can just ask her whenever. Whenever you want, and she'll show you her tits. She'll show you her tits. And I was carrying that through me through middle school. Like, dude, I can't wait to get a wife, and she's just going to do everything I want. But it's not like that. Even in long-term relationships, every day, it's like a situation in high school. Every day, you just got to be the person that they want you to be. Without throwing away your own morals and values, of course. And it's like that in marriage. Like, oh man, when the day came where I realized that you can't really just ask your wife anytime you want to see your tits. Oh my God, I was devastated. Anyway, welcome. It's a beautiful Monday morning. You should be excited to start your week. You should be waking up and you should be like, dude, I get to go do what I fucking love for a living. That's what I was saying this morning when I woke up. I was like, damn, you know, I get to wake up this morning and I get to do a podcast. I get to just sit down and talk about shit for an hour or two, and it's going to be great. It's going to be great because I love it. I'm starting to actually really love podcasting. And even though this is my only second episode, there's something to it. There's something different about it where, like, even after my first episode and a few people watch it and I got one support message or something, and someone's like, hey dude, I really enjoy this, I really like the content you have, keep doing it, you found your niche, you found something in the market that I like. When I heard that, I was like, holy shit, I was like, dude, I got something going. And I don't have something going, but I can. There's definitely the possibility that this fucking seed has been planted, and of course it's a little weird, it's a little cringe, but I think everything worth having is a little cringe, is a little unorthodox. And as a society, and I've noticed this in high school, as a society, we love to idolize people who are fucking lunatics, but we don't like to idolize how to get there. We like to idolize people who are fucking, like LeBron James, who are crazy about basketball. In order to be a professional at any sport, you have to be a little bit insane. You have to be, to an extent, crazy, because you have to devote so much fucking time into allowing someone to shoot a rubber puck going 130 miles per hour at your face. If you're a goalie like I was, that's a commitment that you have to put towards to. And there's like a 99.99999999999% chance that it's not going to go anywhere, that you're just going to be forgetting about it in high school. And like, I mean, I knew that when I was a goalie, but like, it was fun. You're doing it for the experience. You're not doing it for, like, the paycheck. You're not doing it for this or that or this or that. That's why I think I got so excited in the podcast. Because it was just something that I came out and I was like, you know what? I want to do this. No one told me to do it. No one told me that, hey, dude, you know, I think you should do this. Because there's something devaluing. There's something definitely devaluing about a subject when someone you despise, someone you don't really respect, tells you, dude, this is really cool. This is really cool, because that means that you have to relate to that person on a certain level to agree that, yeah, you know what, this is pretty cool. So that's where a lot of bias, that's where a lot of judgment comes from. But for the next hour and a half, Put your judgment in your friggin' back pocket. Let's fucking get right into this. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? I might start up a new segment. I thought about this about T-minus 2 minutes ago. So within this podcast, I've kind of made this up. I want to talk about shit from last week. A few of the subjects that I discussed in last week's podcast, I want to clarify some of the points that I made so I don't come across as delusional, even though I don't give a shit. I circled this. This is a big one under my list of shit from last week, and it might be a new segment that I might do, but hey, probably not. It'll probably be just something. If I say something dumb but mean something different, I'll correct myself, and I'll clarify to you lovely audience. Shit from last week. This is what I have circled about 30 times. Don't take me too seriously. I'm not a very serious person. If I am being serious about a subject, you'll be able to tell, and you'll be able to, and you can just tell that I'm taking the serious subject, that I'm taking the subject seriously. But even if I'm talking about a very serious personal subject, don't be surprised if I crack a joke that's not appropriate every now and then. It's going to happen. It's my podcast. Live with it. So don't take me too seriously. But at the same time, I'm not going to just talk about bullshit. I'm not going to just fill your ears with NPR radio and just ponder for the next 2 hours. I'm going to have some challenging conversations, and it's going to be edgy to an extent. Deal with it. It seems to be enjoyed so far. Another... I'm not virtue signaling. I'm not trying to make myself appear as a better person than the people who don't share my views. That's the exact opposite. I just think that this is something that I want to do. This is a podcast is simply a content that I'm creating on the internet. It's just like another form of social media. But because I'm going out of my way to do it, and it's not there given to me on a plate, it's seen as weird. Think of all the content on social media that's going to be looked back from 100 years from now or so, and then they'll look at that and they'll be like, that was their history, that was their culture that they had at the time. Imagine some scientist 100 years ago listening to some stupid podcast of mine and thinking, wow, imagine the influence, when really I was just talking shit. I was just talking shit. But it's kind of interesting, the amount of content, the little black box that we put in our pocket going to work every day, has this large, this vast amount of information on it available to our fingertips anytime we want. We have data up to our fucking nose that we don't know what to do with, and yet people look at pictures of cats, fight videos... If you don't use the internet to look up shit, and if you don't take extra steps to make sure that there's like not like some government agent following you, and you know, you don't, if you use the internet and you've never, and you don't relate to what I'm saying right now, you haven't used the internet to its full potential, even close. If you don't every now and then go in incognito mode and type little keywords that kind of hint towards a search that you want, but you're not really full out typing what you want to search up. I respect that. You're using the internet to the extent that it's good for. And there's something free about the internet like that, where it's anonymous. And there's not going to be anyone knocking at your door and be like, hey, did you see that? I seen what you said. And people like to act like they're much better than other people for not thinking a certain thing. And it's like, sure, there's definitely social constructs that are wrong in our society that we need to address and get rid of. But I don't know if get rid of is the right word, but definitely correct. Definitely add guidelines to behavior and human behavior and along those lines. But you're not better than the other person, right? You're not a better person for letting them know that they're shitty for thinking what they do. And especially if you assume that that's what they're thinking. If you assume that they're thinking a certain line of thoughts because of one word they said or like a 20-second clip from like 8 years ago, then you're a piece of shit. Like, there's nowhere about that. There's no way around it. You're a piece of shit. If I were to take anyone's text messages, all their text messages, and be able to just lay it out in front of them from the past, like, I don't know, month, 6 weeks, they'd get fired. They'd get kicked out of school. And don't act like you fucking wouldn't. Don't act like you haven't said a joke in the past week that would fucking get rid of you. But it depends on the context. It depends in the state and who around you, what you said it as. Like, when the whole thing about Trump, when he said that whole grab him by the pussy thing, like a bowling ball, he didn't actually mean that he could just walk up to a girl and go fucking grab her like a bowling ball and pick her up by just grabbing her in the pussy. He was saying, holy shit, it's crazy. He was talking shit and he was over-exaggerating in a bus. It's locker room talk. And he was over-exaggerating, saying, dude, it's crazy. These girls, they just come on to you. You just grab them by the pussy. It's fucking crazy. Did he probably grab onto a couple pussies? I don't know. Probably. Donald Trump's, he's obsessed with power. He loves it. He loves it. But to say that that's... What if he was just making a joke? I'm not saying that he is... I'm not excusing all the other actions that he's done, but to justify the actions that you assume that he's going to do by this one little 10-second phrase, it's like, fuck off. No, that's ridiculous. Anybody who's a content provider, or anybody who has common sense would know, if you take 4 hours of someone speaking, not even 4 hours, like an hour of someone speaking about a certain subject, you can rearrange it, and you can take context out of context, you can take content out of context, and make that person seem like they're completely against the point that they're pushing. And it's crazy. Like, you'll see these Mad Lib videos on Facebook of, I don't know, Barack Obama saying some really fucked up shit, and it's like, holy shit. And there's actually now computer software where it does it for you, where you don't even have to have a human to go in and take little bits of the conversation and rearrange them. The computer will just listen to someone talk for 4 hours and then be able to artificially create words that they never even said. They're just able to mix the sounds together and then it sounds exactly like them. And they'll even be able to have the software move the lips up and down. It looks just like them. So, I don't know. We're getting into a fishy point where there's almost no privacy because screen capturing is a thing. You never know when you're going to be in a text message conversation with someone and then scrolling down social media and be like, oh, what? That was said in confidentiality. I've had it happen many times. And you're going to have that happen to you. But there's so much exposure nowadays that I feel like everything is just supposed to kind of not be impactful. And we're just supposed to kind of like float and just let shit happen around us and let other people decide shit for us, that we get so untethered and unconnected with reality. You're going to let someone tell you what you should think. You're going to let someone tell you what you should think. I can think of many times in history where that's happened, where it's been detrimental. Where people just conform to authority just because. Why not, right? I mean, I'm not getting hurt. I'm not hurting anyone around me. I'm not bad. I'm not bad for doing it. I can't be. While meanwhile, you're standing back while Nazi Germany is happening around you. It's like that's happened in history. Where there's been innocent people who's definitely just conformed to authority and just step back and been the bystander and just let it happen. I'm not saying... And to act like someone making a joke about that, like they're the person creating the conflict. It's not true. You're not creating conflict just by talking about it. Right? And there's conversations that are needed to be had among people in meaningful relationships that aren't happening. These conversations are just bouncing over because, I don't know, we're as a society, we're so used to relationships just kind of glossing over and not really having any meaning to them. And I think a big problem with that is social media and porn. Porn and social media are like, are why people are so used to instant gratification. I think it's one of the main reasons why, for sure. If you're feeling sad and you go on social media and like you get that notification or something, it makes you feel good. It gives you that little rush of feel good. And of course, that can be a good thing. That can be used as a tool. Social media can be used as a tool to achieve what you want to achieve. But if you're not using social media as a tool and you're addicted to social media, it will have negative impact on your relationships. And it will make you not be able to have the conversations that you need to have with people around you. If you're at the dinner table and you can't put your phone down, I'm not, and this is not me virtue signaling, I'm on my phone all the fucking time, but if you can't put your phone down at the dinner table, then you have a problem. If you have to, if you're sitting down with a meeting with someone at breakfast, and you put your phone on the table, face up or face down, it doesn't matter. You're kind of putting out that message that it's not only you two there at the table. Now, the other person shouldn't assume that they're not as valued when the phone is on the table. The other person shouldn't assume that for sure, but I mean, it kind of sends that message that like, I'm not 100% here. I'm at least like 10% in the internet space. I have some of my attention to my phone because it has to be on the table. It can't just be at home. It can't be in my pocket. And last podcast, I didn't even have my phone on me, and I was like, oh shit, I need my phone. Oh well, I don't have it on me. I forgot that I had it on me. If I had it on me, I wouldn't have forgot I had it on me. I don't think. I think then it would have been more of a distraction. And a lot of creativity comes from that. A lot of creativity comes from us simply just doing it. Us having an idea and then doing it. When you start doing it, you don't realize how fucking easy it is to do it. And you get into this flow, you get into this weird state where you don't really have that good of a sense of self. And you start just working and working and working, but it doesn't feel like work, and it's fucking weird. It's fucking weird. You can't explain it. And hours will go past, hours, where you'll just be enjoying what you're doing, and it's like, oh, okay, I see. Holy fuck, I broke a pen, and it's getting everywhere now. Holy shit. That's not good. I guess I never really got past the segment of shit from last week, but like we kind of got past it. Sorry if you can hear crinkling. I'm wiping off pen marker. And I don't mean to take sides. I'm not. When I'm engaged in a conversation about a topic, and a lot of people accuse me of this from the last podcast, is that I was taking a side and that I was defending and apologizing for certain sides of an argument, of a point, but that's not really true. I'm just talking. I'm just talking about shit. And sure, everybody has something that they're going to take home with them. Everybody has one subject that's gonna make them feel uncomfortable. Like, for me, there's lots of things. Like, there's religion, there's family, there's drugs. There's lots of things that make me feel uncomfortable, but I don't think that we should not have the conversation. And of course, I'm going to attach an identity. I'm going to attach personal feelings to these subjects. But if someone says that I disagree, I'm not going to get personally offended. I'm not going to attach my identity and say, oh, if they disagree with my point, then they must think that my identity is flawed. So then I have to come out and emotionally defend myself. I try to avoid doing that. And I mean, it's impossible to always avoid doing that. But if you can't avoid doing that about subjects that are so broad and where you just shouldn't be losing your shit about it at, like my post about autism, where it wasn't really that bad. It's inconsiderate. I'll say that. It's insensitive. I'll say that. But death threats? Come on. Come on. you're taking sides where, oh, they're on... And if this is a very progressive, regressive way of thinking. You're trying to be progressive by sticking up for the little guy, because the little guy is on my side. I'm on their side, and I have a responsibility and a duty to protect their identity, because you disagree with them, and that you're not on their side, so that now you're the enemy. It's very cult-like, where you start to answer ridiculousnesses about your cult with the person who questions with their ridiculousnesses in their cults, and that's just not progressive. You're not getting anywhere, because then you're not really talking anything. Then you're just defending. And when we defend, you're not getting anywhere. So stop doing that. Stop attaching sides and identities to arguments that there shouldn't be identities. And like, I don't have a problem with it, but I'm probably not going to have a conversation with you. I'm probably not going... If you're just going to sit there and completely refute any points that I'm making and just personally insult me because I somehow insulted you by disagreeing, I'm not going to have a conversation with you. You're delusional at that point. I'm not going to say that I'm the perfect human and come at everything from a rational perspective. That's why I've kind of made a disclaimer. Like, I have identities. I have subjects that will affect my identity, and then I'll get offended about as well. But it's like you really have to restrict that, and you really have to continually reevaluate yourself and reevaluate what your identity is. Because if you don't, then you get into that, you fall into that mindset that everyone is equal. Everyone's thoughts are all good. It's all good all the time. It's all fine. You can't just go through life thinking that everything's fine. It's not how it works. There has to be competition to an extent. You're not going to have one team. You're not going to have all the teams win. There has to be a team to lose. But losing isn't a bad thing. It's not a bad thing to lose all the time. Like, of course, like, yeah, it's detrimental and it's heartbreaking to lose at something that you put all your passion into. But that just means that you can correct it next time. If you're truly passionate about that subject and you're proven wrong or you lose in competition, that's going to make you better for it in the end. Especially if you're passionate about that, because then you're just going to pick yourself up and you're going to dust yourself off and you're going to keep going. You're not going to take it to your fucking grave like, oh man, back in 85, if I had just thrown that football 5 more yards, he would have caught it. We would have been state champions. It's like, you know how much you fucking hear that on a daily basis of people just complaining about shit that they don't have control about? It's like, well, I mean, I get it if you're 95 years old and you're about to fucking die and you're looking back on your shitty life and you're like, man, I regret doing some of this shit. But if you're 25 years old and you don't know where you stand on anything, and you're just lost, you're just kind of floating, like, how's your job? It's fine. Same as yesterday. Same as last week. Same as last month. And you're not planning on doing anything. Change your friends. Do something. Shake up your fucking life a little bit, because it's miserable. You can't admit it's miserable, but it's fucking miserable. And I feel like with social media, a lot of interactions that we have don't feel meaningful to us. And that's because they don't have that instant impact. There's not, when you're feeling down and you message a few friends and none of them, even though they're your friends, and none of them are able to bring you back up to support you in that time, it doesn't mean they're bad friends. Maybe you need more friends. Maybe you need better friends, but it doesn't mean that they're bad people. You just have to reevaluate sometimes and shake shit up. You're not selfless. You're not selfish, sorry. Rather, you're not selfish for fixing yourself before you can fix others. If you're going out of your way when you're fucking miserable, like, if you donate to a charity money you do not have, and you borrow that money, from someone, you're fucking stupid at that point. You're not generous. you're not thinking for the little guy, because now you're the little guy. Now you've put yourself in that situation just to bring someone else out of that situation. It's like, there's nothing selfish about building yourself up so in the end you can give back that. Give back part of what you built up. There's nothing wrong with that. And if people who say that there is, that you shouldn't, but like, there's not, obviously not going to be someone who say, oh, you shouldn't give yourself something, but there are. There definitely are going to be a lot of naysayers in your life who say, oh, dude, you shouldn't do that. You should do. When meanwhile, they go home and they're just, they kind of just float. They just kind of float through life. Do you want to have a meaningful life? Or do you just want to kind of float? Just want kind of want to do the same thing every day? Like, yeah, it's fine. I hear that a lot. And I hear a lot that people aren't able to build meaningful relationships because they simply don't know how. And it's like, I feel like when you have problems like that, when you have, I call them mini midlife crisis, because it's kind of like a midlife crisis where you're like, holy shit, I'm putting shit into perspective now, and it's not looking good. And it gives you that panic, that anxious feeling of, holy shit, what do I do? It's simple. You do what you want to do. I'd say, like, the amount of people that, when you start actually gaining perspective, and you start blaming other people, you'll think that your life is better. But it's not. It's the fucking same, but you just have a different form of perspective. And we get so addicted to feeling miserable. We get so addicted to just being able to blame our parents for not being where we are. And it's like, you can do that for so long. You can only do that for so long where you look back and you're like, man, I should have. You know, I remember back in 87, I could throw a football way over that mountain. It's like, good for you, bud. Good for you. Yesterday's goals don't score today's games, fuckface. I've done a lot of thinking about this. And I'm not there. I'm not done. I'm not perfected it, but you can't think that there's not going to be competition. You can't think that you're not going to lose. Like my boy Joey Diaz says, in order to make an omelet, you got to crack a few eggs. You know what I mean? You can't. Was I going anywhere with this? Or was I just rambling? It's like, we're almost 30 minutes in, and I don't think we've really talked about anything, but we've talked about a lot. We have talked about a lot, and you're still here. You're still listening to me ramble, so I must have made a few good points along the way. We like to idolize those who are at the top, those who are fucking crazy and lunatics about what they do. And you'll see these people like Kevin Hart. He's a madman. If you ever see Kevin Hart's energy, you would think that like he's an insane person. If you would see Kevin Hart on the side of a street and you didn't know who he was, you'd be like, there's something wrong with this man. He is not normal. He is not like other people. And that's 100% fucking true. You're right. He is not normal. Do you know why? Because normal is broke, normal is dumb, and normal is repetitious. Normal and insane does the same damn thing over and over and over without expecting a different result. And sometimes people will full-heartedly think that they're going to get a different result by just staying home all day. And then they'll complain. They'll have the fucking nerve to complain and be like, oh, I stay at home all day and I meet no one new. And it's like, okay, is that what you want to do? No. Then go do what you want to do. I don't get what you're complaining about. You have a heart. You have your health. Fucking step up to the plate. A lot of responsibility a lot of responsibility and great things aren't there because someone thought about it for a while. You know what I mean? Imagine how many great things are just there because someone randomly was like, you know what? Fuck it. We thugging. I'm doing this shit. And that's a lot of creative. Like when you meet, when you talk to a lot of people who have done amazing things with their lives and have done incredible achievements, they'll just tell you, like, yeah, I just kind of did it. And it's like, what do you mean? It's like, how were you so creative in that moment? It's like, I don't know, I had an idea and I just kind of did it. It's like, well, come on, give me more than that. Feed me more than that. But it's that's all there is to it. If you have something to do, if you have something that you want to do, it's surprising how easy it is to do it. It's surprising how natural you'll feel. And you'll just be like, dude, I want to do this. I want to do this. And people get weirded out by people who are really passionate and ambitious about what they want to do. But they're not weirded about the fact that they look at their phone every 5 seconds, right? And it's like, we want to value and idolize those who are at the top, but we don't want to value and idolize the steps in the process that is necessary to get there. It's necessary. You're not going to get through, you're not going to have anything worth having in life without a bit of hard work. It's like the participation trophy. There's a science behind it. If you win something that you full-heartedly know that you did not deserve, you're going to feel guilty for getting it because you know you didn't deserve it. You did not pull your weight. Have you ever done that on a team? It's like a team of dodgeball or something. Dodgeball is different because if you're invested as an entire team, of course there's going to be some people in the team who are going to contribute more to the team. But if you're not, if you know you never put your full effort and you win and you beat someone else, there's kind of like a guilt that sets in you, like, do I deserve this? Like, I don't know if I deserve this. And that guilt will carry on without you through the next few days until you kind of get over it. On the other hand, something that when you're expected not to win, when you're expected not to do good, and then you just kind of show up and you put your best effort into it, it makes you feel, it burns that fire inside you where you go home and you start talking about it to people that you trust and love, and they're like, well, what'd you eat for breakfast this morning? Like, did you sleep on the bed differently last night? It's like, no, I got excited. And it shouldn't be looked at as a weird thing. We should get excited about almost everything, because everything's exciting. Everything can be exciting. I'm not saying that it's going to be exciting to you, but it's exciting to someone, and there's just a different angle that you haven't seen to it that makes it exciting, right? What steps does it take to get to that, though? What are those steps that I'm talking about? Well, these steps are the steps that you're not going to want to do, that the people around you are going to say, what do you mean you have to do that? Just come on, man, come out to the clubs with us tonight. And you'll have these naysayers in your life who will try to persuade you that what you're doing is not, it's not that important. But if it's important to you, it's important to you, motherfucker. Don't let other people persuade you of that otherwise. If there's something that makes you get up in the morning, that makes you fucking thrilled to do it. Then do it. Have that necessary conversation with the people who are holding you back, who are telling you that you shouldn't be doing this, even though it makes you feel good. Ask them. Be like, what else should I do then, huh? Should I keep doing what I've been doing for the past year, where I've been feeling miserable? Should I just wake up and go to the school and just come back, do my own thing? Or should I start trying out new hobbies and new innovative ideas? If everyone lived by the way that the schools taught us, then there wouldn't be much, a lot of innovation. And I'm not shitting on school. Of course, that school's very necessary, but our public school education system places emphasis on areas where emphasis isn't really needed. And it's almost dangerous to children to teach them these emphases that they should value these things more than other things. And a lot of those are right. Like pedophilia. Pedophilia is definitely something that we can all agree on that is wrong. However, there are still some religious beliefs and there are still some cultures in the world where pedophilia is not seen as something that's wrong. And it's seen as something that's not only accepted, but pushed by the general public. By the general public. That makes your skin tingle. That makes you a little uncomfortable because pedophilia is supposed to be one of those things that we can all consent, like that we can all agree on, that is horrid and it's awful. But we can't say that people don't do it. Me, when I come out and say that there are pedophiles out there, I'm not condoning pedophilia in any way. I'm being realistic about the situation, saying, look, there are people out there who are going to have these cravings, these disgusting thoughts in their head, and what if those don't manifest, what if those do not manifest in actions? What if the person does not engage in a sexual act with the child at all? He's still a pedophile because he still holds those values in the back of his brain. Technically, if he doesn't tell anyone, he'll be fine, right? If he doesn't do anything, he'll be fine. Even though he's still fucked up in the head, he'll be fine. I think with silencing everyone, it tells those people that it will be fine if you just don't talk about it. If you don't come out and talk about your problems and you talk about the difficulties, and that we're all just going to be equal. We'll all be fine if we don't want to come out and talk about these things. There's a problem in that because that's going to bottle it down. And those people, they can't help themselves that they think that way, right? And I'm not saying only pedophiles. Man, we jumped into this topic hard. I'm not only talking about pedophiles, I'm talking about a lot of conditions and a lot of illnesses that are present in society. And it's like, you have to, when it comes to those things, you have to look at generalizations. You have to look at, okay, what's happening in their childhood, what's happened in the past to lead them up to this point. And I think that's why look at all the fucking allegations coming out from Hollywood right now. Holy shit. That was big on the news for a while. And then now it's just kind of like starting to fade off again. But like and all of those celebrities that were coming out and calling out Harvey Weinstein and a few of the other people, I don't know. And they were, I'm not saying that Harvey Weinstein's a pedophile, by the way. I don't know if he is, but, I mean, there's been rumors that he did the old Kevin Spacey, and he just kind of walked up to a few kids and just grabbed their junk, but, I mean, we have to have this conversation, because if we don't, then these people are just going to silently keep doing what they do. And if they keep silently doing what they do, then that's a problem. That's obviously a problem. So let's not just fucking live in La La Land, where we pretend that everyone is okay, everyone is normal. Because that's the fact, that if you're not scared of getting shot when you leave your house every day, if you're not scared, then you're stupid to an extent. Because you put trust in everyone around you, even though we all know that everyone can't be trusted. I'm not saying that no one can be trusted, but as a whole, everyone can't be trusted. If everyone could be trusted, then no one would do a distrustful thing, right? Right? So, don't believe all that bullshit that school tries to tell you. That school tells you that we're all equal and that we all hold equal values. Because that's not true. That's not true. We have to look at what causes these inequalities among ourselves, and we have to look at them and have an actual conversation about them. Because it's not just going to die off. Like, as much as I wish it would, as much as we all wish it would, subjects like this are not just going to disappear. They're not just going to... And if they do, then that, I don't want that to happen, actually. I don't want us not to talk about it, because then the people who do it are just allowed to do it as long as they keep their mouth shut. And that's so scary. That's so scary. What if you can convince everyone to say everything that's on their mind? Then you'd be able to keep everyone out in the open. But then that would go back to my last point about to a point where if you looked at everyone's text messages from the past 4 weeks, everyone, I mean, you're probably going to get fired. You're probably going to get kicked out of school or something. So don't pretend. Don't pretend that you're not. We all say fucked up shit every now and then. We fucked up things when we were a kid. Because humans, in essence, in a lot of ways, humans are fucked up just by the way that we absorb knowledge and absorb information. If we're absorbing fucked up information, then you're going to start exhibiting those fucked up traits in your behavior. And that behavior can sometimes be misinterpreted as a bullshit word, I call it, culture. Culture is a bullshit word. Culture just means human behavior among a general populace, among a general population. This is their culture. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't respect culture, but if your culture is based on a prophet who had a 6-year-old wife and he consummated, I don't know the word, at when she was 9 years old, it's like, you have to take a step back and be able to look and be able to question without the fear of your identity getting questioned. Because, I mean, you can be outrageous and say outrageous shit without being outrageous, without having outrageous thoughts go on inside your head. For sure. You can also be completely normal, act completely normal, but inside your head, you're fucking insane, you're a lunatic. There's been a few movies about that, where people just act normal, and then last second, at the end of the movie, it's like, oh, he's a serial killer. Who would have known? That's a topic I want to talk about. We like to paint serial killers and insane people just as that. Like, we like to paint them as completely different from everyone else. When if you actually think about it, psychologically, you're not too far away from being insane. You're not too far away from actually being classified as a crazy person. And Jordan Peterson, professor of psychology at University of Toronto, he had a really good few lectures on this. Of, we like to think that if we were in a disastrous point of history, during a war, that we would be the heroes. That we'd all be the heroes, because now, as a humanity, we've improved, and we know that these ideologies are false. When, in fact, people in places of authority during concentration camps in Nazi Germany, most of them just replied, oh, I was just conforming to authority. I was just doing what I was told by my elders, without questioning it. So that's why I think questioning shit is very important, so you don't fall down in that slippery slope. That's a difficult topic to talk about, how we're not much different than those who we detest. And I feel like once you get past the fact that we're not much different, you're able to see where they went wrong. If you just want to have the unrealistic view that, oh, I'm good at reading people, I can tell when someone's a crazy person or not, it's like, you're bullshit. Imagine how many people we walked across. We just, you know, nodded towards going down downtown or something. Going down downtown. And you just nod at, and they just walk by you, but like, they're a serial killer to an extent, or they're a fucking lunatic, and you just have no idea because they look like a normal person. Think of how many people you've crossed in your life that you've had interactions with that are like that, that hold values that if spoken out loud, they would be they'd be ridiculed and humiliated. That's a bit, that, like, this all ties together. This all is kind of, I don't know, I'd like to think it's tying together. With my rant on social media, it's starting to tie together, right? I feel like I'm making good points. I do have lots of things I want to discuss, though, so I'm not just gonna dread on this forever. We'll eventually get past it. When you have, we have to be able to have the conversation of why these people think this way, so that we can avoid doing it in the future. If you have power structures, like Hollywood, like anything, especially in the entertainment industry, it seems, when you have power structures at the top of them, it seems to be run by pedophiles, it seems to be run by rapists, by people who are just absolutely obsessed with power and control. And do you think that it kind of goes to the nature-nurture argument? Do you think that they're like that, that there's a disproportionate amount of people who have weird kinks associated with problems with power? Do you think that it's more nurture or nature that they also have jobs in high positions of power? That's a good question. Do you think that they were already psychologically fucked up before they got into that position of power? Or after being there for a few years, they thought that, oh yeah, I can make a difference. I'll make a difference. And then you get there in that position of power. And then, you know, like off of that Blink-182 song, Shaking Her Ass on Weinstein's Car. It's like a 1985 Bowling for Soup. Yeah, that's it. Not Blink-182. It's like, she shakes her ass on the hood of Weinstein's car, something like that. And it's like, holy shit, people knew. People knew about this all along, but it was just looked as like it's another thing. It's just another thing that we kind of have to accept. I'm not... And with all this talk about pedophilia allegations in Hollywood, I'm not saying I know for sure, right? Just in legal terms, but I mean, come on. They all knew. Allegedly, they all knew. That sounds quite hypocritical. It doesn't make sense. Allegedly, they all knew. My brother has an interesting theory on that. I'm not going to say which brother, but he thinks that at the top of all major power structures, there are a bunch of fucking pedophiles who are just trying to normalize pedophilia in our society. Like, from everything, that there's a power structure where there's sides. He thinks that it's just trying... I don't agree with him. I think to an extent he's right, that pedophilia is one of the things, but it's not only pedophilia. He thinks that it's solely pedophilia. That when you get to the top, the only way to get to the top is to be a pedophile, because then they recognize you as a pedophile, so they let you get in the top. Because it's like, think of all those movie roles where girls were about to get by Harvey Weinstein or whatever. And then right at last second, he's like, oh yeah, come up to my hotel room. And they're like, what? No, I don't want to do that. And then they're like, oh, okay, you don't have the job anymore. Think of how much that's happened, and it's just kind of gone silent. We don't want to admit that happens, but it fucking happens. All right, I'll be right back. I gotta let my dogs out. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm back. If you can hear an odd humming in the background, it's just a heater. I'll turn it off soon. And let out all the dogs. That was fun. I kind of forgot about them. I should have let them out like before the podcast, but oh well. A mini break in the podcast is not going to be much. It's not going to be that. That detrimental.
No, fuck you.
No, fuck you. The go fuck yourself challenge on Facebook, dude. Everybody go do it. Where you just send videos of yourself saying go fuck yourself to your friends. As we were talking about before I rudely interrupted myself and left. Pedophilia and power structures. My brother thinks it's a thing. He has a theory on it. There's... And you... I hate to admit that he's right, but... It's so apparent and transparent... In some context where it's like, oh, wow. What if you attach this motivation to what they're showing us, to what I'm being shown right now? What is their motivation for this? And a lot of the explanations were they're being pedophile apologists. They're apologizing on behalf of people ridiculing pedophiles. And I have a problem with that. I heard one argument that because everything is a social construct, that pedophilia is only wrong because we're taught that it is wrong. Because we're taught in our culture, in our society, that pedophilia is associated with a traumatic experience simply because of our culture and our social constructs. Which, if you think like that, go fuck yourself. Kill yourself. Because you're not there. You're not rational. You're not actually thinking with the proper steps that you're supposed to be using. And I'm not making fun of you, but I'm just thinking that you're useless if you think like that. Because even in feral children, even in children who were taken as a baby, or who were, I don't know, brought up by wolves or some shit in the woods, no human contact, no social constructs, they'll still clean shit off themselves, like other animals won't. You'll see certain behaviors in feral children that you don't see in other animals. Like when a bird gets shit on itself, they'll just shit anywhere. They'll just get shit on themselves. They don't give a fuck. It's just shit. But when a human gets shit on themselves, they clean it off. They like to be clean. And it's like, how much of that social construct, in quotation marks, social construct, is enforced by our society or is enforced by our genetics, by our human instincts? And these human instincts aren't just there for no reason. We have human instincts for survival. We have human instincts for reproductive purposes. Everything's here for a reason. There's no plant that has like an attribute to it just because it looks cool. It's like it might be because it looks cool, but there's a hidden message behind it. It looks cool so it can attract another plant or another bee so it can reproduce or it can prolong its life. Prolong its survivability, its chances of survivability. There's always a reason for something. And so when you attach that reasoning to some video that you see on Facebook that is trying to make sense of pedophilia, it's like, don't find common ground on those arguments. I'll tell you the reason why pedophilia is a bad thing. When a child is exposed to that amount of sexual knowledge by someone who's experienced, by an adult, when an adult, even if it is consensual, that's traumatizing to the child, because then they'll grow up with this weird sexual kink of being in that situation again, because that's how they were introduced. When you're 6 years old and you're thinking about toy trucks, about fucking princesses, and then someone comes, a grown man or a grown woman, this conversation's very, very uncomfortable, but it's an important conversation to have, because we have to remind ourselves why we push so hard that pedophilia is a bad thing. When Milo Yiannopoulos got all his books deals signed off because he made a... It was very inappropriate. It was very inappropriate. He made a joke and a reference to himself as a kid being touched by his priest, his Catholic priest being molested by his Catholic priest, and it reinforcing his gay preference upon him. He had, and this is his words, not mine. I'm not gonna get into this at all because I can't relate at all. But I can still provide my two cents on the issue because I'm rational and I trust myself enough and I give myself that sense of respect. And it's like, he's not condoning pedophilia for saying that he had a positive experience with pedophilia, but you have to be aware that most of the time it's going to be a bad experience and it's going to be traumatizing for a child. And most of the time it's not going to be consensual. Most of the time it's not going to be consensual, and it's going to be ugly. It's going to be very ugly and it's disgusting. And hey, full disclosure, if you want to put me on the firing range with a full-on fucking fully automatic rifle, and you want to line them up along, and you want to put me on the firing squad, you want to line up pedophiles, rapists, murderers, I'd be able to sleep. I'd still be able to sleep at night if I was the one to take their life. And I'm not saying that that's justifiable, but it's like, these people are so broken that they can't fit into society. If you can't control yourself to the point where you can't function without fucking groping a little kid, like, and that was a defense that Harvey tried in his apology. He was like, sorry, I just grew up in a different time where this was accepted. It's like, yeah, jerking off into a flower plant in front of someone, you come from a different time. It's like, you can't use that as an excuse. You can't. But I use that as an excuse for justifying why I called that kid, why I called that my buddy a faggot on the pond hockey. It's because that's how I was raised. But the intent was, I was just trying to make a joke. I was just trying to do it in all good fun. His intent, he's trying to get laid. Harvey Weinstein, he's trying to get a little kid to touch his dick. That's fucked up. That's fucked up. And you have to acknowledge that that's fucked up, and he has to be punished for that. He didn't even get all his movies removed. I don't know. Like, there's something weird about punishing people for that. That if you get caught doing something like that, like Louis C.K., he masturbated in front of women, and allegedly he wouldn't let them leave. He blocked the doorway, which I think now has been refuted by the victim of this. I don't know. I don't want to talk about it too much because I don't know the specificities. But it's like the thought that all of Louis C.K., this comedic genius, all of his content should be taken off of the internet and should not be accessible to anyone because he sexually assaulted someone, in a sense. In a way, he definitely did sexually assault someone. And it's not like even if he didn't touch them, you still psychologically caused a traumatic experience that was not consensual. Louis C.K. is a bad person for doing what he did. But he wasn't doing that during his stand-up gig, right? He was making jokes during a stand-up gig. So why should that stand-up gig and everyone who worked on that stand-up gig now have to take that down? Even though, like, you're just completely disregarding the amount of hard work that went into it, that went into the product of making it. And it's not only Louis who is in the production of his Netflix specials or something. There's editors. There's people in the background whose jobs are at stake, too. Like, 4,000, almost like 5,000 people went out of a job after House of Cards got taken off the air. Which it should have been. Kevin Spacey was walking around grabbing little dude dicks on set. And it's like, that has to be come to a stop. But 4,000 people now out of a job for one person's beliefs. And it's like, holy, it's one person's fuck up. He fucked up many times. And he is a fuck up, but... And he should be put in jail. Should be killed. Like the fucking animal he is, Kevin Spacey. But it's like... You're not... And to say that that person should not... I'm not condoning what Louis did in any way. And any sensible person will be able to acknowledge that. I'm just saying that what Louis did should not be excuse, should not be grounds enough to completely remove his content. That's kind of ridiculous. We'll see Louis C.K. back on stage in a year. Don't worry. If you actually like Louis C.K., I mean, he's still going to be here. Like, he's not going anywhere. He wouldn't write shit down. He wouldn't even write notes. And he sold out he was definitely on the verge of being the next biggest comic, about being a stand, like, just legendary status. But he didn't. He had to go ahead and do what he did. And he didn't only do it once either. He jerked off in front of a few people, apparently. And that's just his kink. That's a weird kink he has. And that kink comes from somewhere along the line where he just, I don't know. And like, kinks don't have to form in your early childhood. They can form in your 20s. They can form anytime. It's just, kinks come about where, I believe from a psychological standpoint, psychological, that kinks will come about when you're first being introduced to a thing. And then you're taught, this is how it's supposed to be. So you just kind of get into that habitual routine of doing that. And so you get used to associating sex with, I don't know, choking. And that's, like, you'll see, and this is very, 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 very sensitive of a subject, but it's crazy, some of the kinks that some people have, some sexual kinks that it just gets them off. It's like, you'll guys know what the fuck I'm talking about, because you'll be with a girl and she'll say, choke me. She'll do some shit like that, and it's like, okay, alright, there's someone's been along the line, somewheres along the line there was something in there that had to just make, that had to force you to associate choking with sex. And that is hot. And it's like, and that's hot to you. Don't get me wrong, choking's not bad. It's like, girls like that shit, and pulling hair and all that, just being rough. But it's, there's some kinks, like foot kinks. Feet kinks are fucking weird. You should not be sexually attracted to feet. But there are lots of people who are. I've had one. I've had a girl in the past who has definitely tried foot shit, pee shit, and it's like, you have to be, you don't have to be fucked up to have fucked up kinks, but it helps, definitely helps. And to say that kinks just come up randomly, that's also stupid. Come on. If most people would see other people's sex lives, they wouldn't respect them. They wouldn't look at them the same way, because you're like, that's what gets you off? That's what makes, and it's like, whoa. But it's such a personal interconnected thing with you and another person, that there's something about the kinks that are bottled way down. They'll just come up in that time because it's so personal. And I think social media, bringing it all together here, you like that? I'm actually making my podcast relevant this time. And I think social media plays a major factor in this, a major role, in that we're so used to an instant gratification that when we have sex over and over and over and over, it kind of loses its special touch to it. And that's why I say that, like, marriage, long-term relationships, every day it's like going to high school. Every day it's the same thing. It's like these little games and routines that repeat and repeat, and you have to learn how to adapt to these games and routine, but you can't do it in a, can't, you have to add emotion. You can't just look at shit always as a pattern and in a routine, because you'll go crazy. Not everything has a pattern to it. Some shit is random. Some shit you don't have control over, but you just kind of have to say, fuck it, we'll go along with it. We'll make it work. Ladies, if you're about to cheat on your man, just don't. Just seriously, don't. If you feel the urge to cheat on your man, break up with him. It's as simple as that. You don't have to go out of your way to convince yourself that what you're doing isn't wrong because your man isn't there for you right now. Like, I saw a quote on Instagram the other day, and it was along the lines of, if you're not texting me, don't be surprised when I'm texting someone else. It's like, fuck you, bitch. Fuck you. That's so selfish. What if the person that you're... Whatever. There's not even a point to get into this because the point is so obvious. It's like, you can't be expecting someone to always match your needs constantly at all times. But you have to put in your needs in the equation. You can't just completely disregard someone else's needs or your needs in a relationship. There has to be give and take. You have to offer someone something to the other person, and they have to offer something to you. Goes back to the discussion last week about loyalty. If you're not going to be loyal to someone who has nothing to offer you. And if you are, then you're stupid. Or they're your family. But you just can't. You can't. You can't only have loyalty. Because loyalty by itself is meaningless. If you only are loyal to the person for the sake of being loyal to them, that's not good. Relationships are very complex for a reason. If they were easy, then everyone would be in a relationship, and every relationship that we have would work out. But they don't. Most of them, they don't. Half of marriages end up in a divorce. More than half now, I think. Definitely more than half. So, to think that you're going to find your one on the first time, on the first go-through, it's like, nah, not really. You're not. You're not going to. And if you do, good luck. But you're probably wrong. You're probably just stuck with that person and made it work. And I respect that. I'm jealous of that. I envy that, because if you have the ability to just say, you know what? No, we're adults here. We're adults, and we're going to handle this like adults. And you're able to do that with every single situation. Holy shit. You got it figured out, bro. Right? Unfortunately, it doesn't happen. And we'll learn from it. We learn, because that's what humans do. We make mistakes and we learn. And with freedom, there's something so attractive about freedom, about being able to reach a state of freedom, that we sometimes try to convince ourselves that the freedom we want is in someone, or is in something. And then when that something is taken away from us, we're like, holy shit, what do we do? It's devastating. When you know what I'm talking about. You've had, especially as a kid, moments where you get your first boyfriend or girlfriend, and you really start to get attached to someone. And then when it's taken away, you're just like, whoa. You step back and you're like, holy shit, I'm devastated. I don't have this person now anymore in my life. It's like I don't know how to live without them. It's weird. But I say to fix that is to just find something else. Find something else that makes your blood get going. And I mean, it's going to be hard for a few days, but you'll eventually get there. You'll eventually be able to replace whatever void that someone else or something else left in the background. Or you can just be like every other fucking loser on this planet and hold on to it and regret it until the day you die. That's the alternative. Either you progress and take the loss, and next time hopefully come out with a W, or you can just hold on to it until you die. And I'm not trying to be a guru, and I don't want this podcast to turn into that. This is a comedy podcast. But this was an important discussion for us to have, for sure, because a lot of people are wanting to have these discussions, but they don't know how. They simply don't know how. And you get so caught up in a routine that you'll be blinded by your true ambitions and your true, and what speaks to you, that you'll put other needs ahead of yours. You'll put other ambitions that are fucking meaningless. And my advice for that is kick dumb people out of your life then. Because there's going to be dumb people in your life. There's going to be stupid people, because the average person, think of how stupid the average person is. And then the thought that half of the people of that are even stupider than that. When you realize that and you go out in public, it makes you look at people's faces a little different. It doesn't make you a judgmental person. You won't walk up to someone and have that condescending preschool teacher voice where you're like, "Oh, hello, how are you? Oh my goodness, that is a rocket ship." And it's like, you're so condescending. Just talk to me like a person. And that's a big part of growing up. That's a big part of growing up, is being able to just let stuff that happened in the past stay in the past. Get on with your fucking life. Get on with it. There's going to be people who disagree with me. There's going to be people who be like, "Yeah, well, my dad did this when I was..." It's like, man, we could sit here all fucking day and talk about what shoulda and what coulda happened. I mean, you're going to be saying that for the next 30 years about what happens tomorrow. So change tomorrow. You have the ability. That's the golden thing. Tomorrow always comes. There's always going to be another chance. So to say that, "Oh, my chance is ruined because of my dad. He never put me through university when I was a kid." It's like, come on, dude. Fuck off. You're young. You have lots of ambition. You can go out there and do it. It's just a matter of going out there and doing it. You know what I mean? If you have people in your life, that was like a good 10 seconds of silence. Holy shit. If you have, I'm staying on this topic, but I feel like I haven't concluded it yet, because I really want to push the point that if you have people in your life that are holding you back, just have the conversation with them that, like, "Hey, listen, we're not, what's happening here is not working out." This can be with your dad, this can be with your mother, this can be with your boyfriend, your girlfriend, anyone who's holding you back to an extent. And if they get offended, if their first reaction is get angry and blame you, dude, they're stupid. Shake them out of your life. Get the fuck rid of them. They're dumb. You're going to meet lots of dumb people in your life, and you're going to meet lots of smart people in your life. You're not going to be able to hold on to all of them, and you're necessarily not going to be able to kick all of them completely out of your life. But you know what the best part about a phone call with a stupid person is? That successful, like, click that you do at the end, especially on flip phones. We don't really have that now, but like that click that you can do where it's like, "All right, it's over. I'm done with her bullshit." You can do that in life too. People think that you can't because you'll see them in the same city. It's like, you can do that with your life. They'll get over it. Exposure doesn't last that long. If someone, "Ooh, I'm so scared of being exposed." It's like, dude, it'll be over in like 3 days. Don't worry about it. In fact, you'll probably have a greater sense of self-confidence because of it. Because you'll realize how little people actually give a shit about people you, about things you do, about the way you act. It's like, people don't really give a shit because we're all trying to just like artificially act a way that seems perceivable by everyone. I feel like if you stop worrying about that and you just do what you do and do what you want to do, you're going to achieve great fucking things, and you're going to have those people in your life who are naysayers and who are just going to sit back and be like, oh, they're not there because of this person or this person. And dude, just let them sit there. Don't try to convince them that, be like, "No, dude, you're looking at it a different way." Think of all the people that tried that already on them. I mean, you can try, but just be like, "You know what, dude, you're right. You're right, dude. You're right. The world is shitty. And it'll stay shitty. And the only reason why people can get on top is because they'll make other people feel shitty." You can sit there and think that Marxist mentality all day, but it's not going to get you anywhere. And what you find is in 2 years, not even that, a year or half a year, you'll be getting on with your life, and then these people will still be sitting there complaining. But they'll have more shit to complain about. Maybe different shit to complain about, but they'll still be complaining. They'll still be blaming. Well, you'll be prospering. You'll be taking your excuses, and you'll be taking your L's, your losses, and turning them into W's, and turning them into reasons. Why? I'm a huge advocate of that. Just go out and do it. Just start. That's where creativity comes from. It doesn't come from someone who sits there and thinks for a month about it. There's, like... You can get lost in that thought. You can easily get lost in the thought of blaming people for why you're not where you want to be. Don't. I challenge you. Don't do that. Shake shit up. Be a little bit of a shit disturber. You don't have to fight unnecessary battles. Don't go out of your way to pick an argument with a teacher. But if your teacher says something that you don't agree with, dude, the teacher will respect you, and they should respect you if you stand up and you dispute that. And you say, what you said was wrong, actually. And if they say, no, it was right, don't be like, well, fuck you, man, how about that? Just fortify your argument. Don't attach a ridiculous identity to your argument. And you'll see, if they are truly passionate about what they were talking about, they'll come back at you, and they'll respect you even more for questioning it. And if they aren't that passionate about it, and they don't really care, they'll just get mad and insult you. Don't stoop down to their level. Just stick to the facts. Be the bigger person. Just kind of smile and nod and be like, yeah, I see. I've seen your kind before. You'll don't disregard everyone, but there's some people where you're gonna have to tap out of the conversation, and you're gonna have to just be like, you know what, I'm not gonna find common ground with you, because your common ground is fucking in the Sahara Desert, so there's no point, just tap out of that conversation, maybe try it again, but it's like, some people are just childish, dude, I don't have a whole lot of other things that I want to discuss. Time does fly, though, when you're ranting. Do I have any other topics that I should clear up that I've went over? Or shall we move on, people? Shall we move on? The people want to move on, Jay. And you've been rambling for an hour and 20 minutes. It's my podcast. You'll enjoy it. You'll come to enjoy it. I'm eventually going to start doing other people on my podcast. I'll be having guests. I don't know. I have a few segments planned for the near future for these podcasts, and I'm starting to get a schedule, but it's like at the same time I look at it and I'm still undecided if I want to do this, but I preach all this preach and I'm talking all this talk about just doing it, so I mean, I guess that's what I'm doing to an extent. But, you know, don't do a podcast, because I'm doing that, motherfucker. So let's move on. Let's move on from this, from these area of topics. There's not a lot of shit going on in the world today. It seems like a lot of the news nowadays are just negative. And my mom, she stopped listening to a lot of news stations just because there's nothing good on the news anymore. There's nothing actual feel good or positive about the news. I saw this Instagram account the other day, and it was just good news. And it was actually, it was really cute. It was very cute. And there were stories like dog found alive in snowbank after 5 days of gone missing or something. It's like, aww. Like, that's good. But it's just so big of a problem to instill positivity and only positivity among the people, among a society, than it is to just instill fear. To just fearmonger in all of your forms of media. And it's like, you have to find a balance. There definitely has to be a balance. And I think that there should be more good news on the news than there is bad. Because, I don't know, you feel people's thoughts. You feel... pardon me. You fill people's brains full of thoughts of fear and horror in the world. And they'll start to believe it. They'll start to believe that their neighbor is a fucking white privileged Trump supporter. And that they're planning on a mass genocide amongst different races. And we have to look at that, and we have to be able to challenge our thinking and say, and take a step back and say, okay, maybe, just maybe, we're stroking the shaft of our ego a little bit too much, and we need to take a step back, reevaluate, come up with a better solution. People are too scared to admit that they'll just be like mid-conversation. You'll see it on their face that they realize what the points that they're trying to come across on, the points that they're trying to get across aren't valid, and it's just irrational. There's contradictions, and they'll do one of a few things. They'll admit that you're right, which I don't even want. I want you to tell me that I'm wrong, and I want you to decipher my argument in every way that is wrong, and I want you to come up with a counter plan. Now, signposting all that. I want to be out debated. I want my opinions and my thoughts and my critical thinking to be told, no, you're stupid, you never thought of it this way. Come at it from a different angle. And I feel like there's like a deeper meaning in that, like a trait that some people have and some people don't have. And it's a very alpha male trait of the way that you're doing things are wrong. Let me do them my way. And it's like, you can do little tests to your kids to see which personality types they have. And I've seen it all. I've grown up in a daycare. I've grown up seeing which kids will just share their shit and give shit to all the other kids, and which kids are going to be like, fuck you, man, that's my toy. Give me back my toy. I remember we were really trying to solve a few arguments and interactions among a couple of the kids in the daycare. My parents used to own a daycare, and these kids were, on a daily basis, they would just punch each other and get in each other's faces and fucking just be shit disturbers. And we were a martial arts company, so we teach discipline, and we teach the ability to control one's temper and one's emotions. Be able to pick your fights, that's very important. And they just wouldn't listen. They wouldn't stop fighting. So eventually, one day, we were just like, dude, you guys gotta fucking stop. You guys have to stop, or else we're gonna separate you. And every time, it was like, it was these stupid reasons for fighting. Like, oh, he took my toy. And eventually, what we boiled it down to was that every time, it was this one kid wanted to do, like, these kids were good friends, but they would just constantly fight. It was the one kid wanted to play the game this way, and the other kid wanted to play the game this way. And as soon as they started to contradict each other, you would see like this alpha male instinct kick in them, where they feel the need to be the alpha and one up one another. And in the kids, it's so transparent. You see it, and then it's like, holy shit. We're taught that's a bad thing. That competition is wrong because there has to be a loser. Which might be a bad thing. Like, I mean, if you have a competition where it's unfair, there's one kid who's obviously going to win, and he wins every time. And it's detrimental to the kid, then yeah, you gotta step in. Like, I mean, fuck, there's, like, for a while, I was emotionally fucked up, because I would always just get in, I would get in fights with people that weren't real fights, because of martial arts, but I would take them as real fights, and I would take them home with me, and be like, oh, that fucking kid in class today, you know, he caught me with a good kick, or he scored on me. But you eventually realize, okay, not all fights are the same as other fights. Some fights you have to put in your identity, and you have to put an actual investment in, because that person is infringing on your house. But if you're not infringing on their house, and they're just coming after you, then you have to look at different motivations for why they're coming after you. Are they coming after you because they're mad at something that you said? Are they coming after you because they simply want you to appear less? Because, like, we in school, we're taught that if we don't talk about something, it will disappear. If we don't talk about bullying, it will disappear. But then at the same time, we'll have anti-bullying rallies. We'll have anti-drunk driving rallies. While at the same time we're told, hey, don't talk about it. And it's like, what? Why? We're allowed to talk about it when we all agree in the same room. But as soon as someone disagrees, somehow that's... It's like, you can disagree on one thing without disagreeing on everything that one thing might lead up to. And it's like, we got to stop assuming as a society. We have to stop assuming positions of people based on the arguments that they portray, because, I mean, I wouldn't say I'm a victim to this, but, like, I don't know, maybe it's because when I was younger, I had a different childhood, and I was around fighting because of martial arts all my life, and so I look at fighting as not really a serious thing. I don't react the same to people fighting as other people would. Other people freak out, but me, I'm just kind of like, oh yeah, it's just a fight. It's just another thing. So when people try to get right emotional and right passionate about their argument, and they'll be like, well, actually, I have experienced that. I'm like, cool. I've experienced getting kicked in the face. It's like, there's a difference. And in fighting, it's like, you don't want to pick unnecessary battles with your training, with your sparring partner. If you have a sparring partner in class, and you have a tournament coming up next month, and you're going to be sparring with us, you're going to be training with this person for hours on end on a daily basis, you're gonna get your ass kicked. But you can't take that home with you. You can't say, like, oh man, this guy beat me in class today, I'm worthless, I will never get better. It's like, no, you're gonna come back, and then you're gonna be stronger, right? This has kind of been a motivational podcast a little bit, hasn't it? I've really been trying to push positive energy in this. I'm liking it. Hopefully, you all will learn something about this from this. I mean, you learn something new every day, right? Apparently. I don't want to lose that edge, though. I don't want to lose the edge that I had talking about random dumb shit. Don't worry, I won't. I'll still be talking about a lot of edgy shit that should challenge your thinking. It should. I don't want to emphasize on that too much, though. Because, I mean, what if that's gone? Then I gotta have something else. There's always got to be something. There's always got to be something to be loyal to. You can't just depend on one thing. That's where a lot of insecurities come from. A lot of insecurities actually come from what we expect to be enormous, like, privileges and advantages. When you're beautiful, if you're only beautiful and that's all you have to offer, there's an expiration date on that. When you come back to your high school reunion in 10 years' time and you're not beautiful, it goes back to my point on first impressions and how first impressions should be shitty. Because when you have a shitty first impression, it's only going to go up. If you weren't beautiful in high school, but that was all you were known for, and you come back as non-beautiful, what are you going to be known for? You're going to be known as the person who went from being beautiful to non-beautiful. But if you're just like me, who in high school didn't really have a lot of impact on people's lives, and then you come back 10 years and people are like, whoa, you aren't fat? Like, whoa, you aren't, I don't know, you're successful, you didn't fucking go insane along the way? It's like, people value that. But if the only thing you have has an expiration date, you know that expiration date's coming, eh? And you'll see it. You'll see it. Especially in I don't want to say this because it's very edgy. And it's I don't know. I feel uncomfortable talking about it. But when girls are only pretty and they only have their beauty to offer, they'll use sex as tools. They'll use weird ways to get their way. And you'll see this in their insecurities and in their behavior. And it's like, to keep... I think it's why a lot of girls don't necessarily fall for the nice guy. It's because, like, who wants someone who just agrees with you all the time, right? If you just agree with me all the time, it's just going to make me get lost in my own delusion that I'm always right. It's like, don't do that. Don't agree with me all the time. I want you to challenge me as a human being. I want you to not only accept and be grateful for what I have to offer, I want you to offer, to have something that you want to offer that has no expiration date, that isn't going to get old and non-special after a while. Just trust me, girls. If you think that you being hot is going to be enough, like, just give it a month. Give it 6 months of sex. It'll get old. Trust me, it will. You can try to add as much crazy kinks to the sex life as you want, but, I mean, you're going to end up sucking up some other dude's dick eventually. It's going to happen. If all you have is that to build your relationship on, sex isn't enough. There has to be a very complex amount of issues. People treat that like it's a bad thing. Like, complex relationships are difficult. When in reality, complex relationships often are long-lasting because you have lots of investment. You don't want to just waste that investment. You don't want to waste the time that you spent learning about this complex person and dealing with their complex reaction, like, you know, their instincts and their reactions to shit. Like, that's a time investment. And when all that is just thrown away, or when you think that it's going to be thrown away because you're no longer beautiful and that's all you had to offer, you'll see it. You'll see this happen, this realization. And they'll just resort to getting angry, to getting jealous for random shit. And it's like, you have no reason to be jealous for. Why are you being jealous right now? Why are you acting like this? Why you do this? And it's, I don't want to get too specific about it, but we've all experienced it. We've all experienced to an extent that look on someone's face where you realize what they have to offer isn't enough. And you're just like, should I get rid of you? Should I keep on investing more time? I have a lot of time invested in you already. But is it worth it? And I think that people who are on the fence on the relationship with an individual right now, or with, doesn't have to be an intimate, you know, an intimate relationship. It can be just like a friendship. But if that person, if they're not offering anything to you, you don't have to stay loyal to them. I'm here to tell you that. You can have that conversation with them where you're like, listen, I notice what you've been doing. You've been kind of not allowing me to have sex when I don't give you what you want. And I feel like they're using sex as a tool. I want you to stop this because sex is not a tool. It's a personal internet connection. If they come back at you with hysteria and ridiculous actions and be like, you're the one that's acting ridiculous, that's a red flag right there, ladies and gentlemen. If they can't accept the truth of what you're speaking, like, don't force it. Like, don't push it, and don't steep to the level. Don't take the bait of them reacting in a ridiculous manner, and then you being like, what the fuck you react that way for? Don't take the bait. Just sit there and stick to your facts, stick to your guns. Be like, listen, I'm not saying, because you'll try to say something like, be like, hey, I think we're having troubles here. And if she comes back at you like, what the fuck do you mean? We're not having troubles. Are you having troubles? Be like, who are you talking to? It's like, okay, you got to calm down. You can't come at me like that. You can't be doing that shit if we're just having a conversation. And how would you even react to that? How are you supposed to react as a human, as an equal human, to someone who just is completely hysterical about certain things? I don't think that you should just drop it and just move on with your life, but, like, you have to ask yourself if it's worth it. You have to reevaluate constantly. If you don't, you'll get sunk into habitual relationships that are toxic, that are just bad for you. And, like, if you think that you're with the person or they're with you because they have no one else, I can't tell you how wrong you are. There's always someone out there willing to fuck you. They'll look at you. They'll look up and down. They'll be like, damn, son. I want to fuck that. Don't worry. There's someone out there. And they're probably harder than you think. And they might be out of your league. They might be under your league. But there's someone out there who wants to fuck you. So don't resort to what you have. Because it's comfortable to you. What's comfortable to you might be fucking awful. Might be horrendous. I'm here to... Fuck, that was loud. I'm here to tell you not to do that. Right? Right? I'm trying to transition into other topics, but we seem to be kind of covering the same thing today. My head must be really wrapped up on social constructs and intent behind people's behaviors. It's not gonna be like this every episode, but like, it's something important to look at when you're looking at situations, especially in relationships and friendships that are meaningful and are going to be important to you. It's important to challenge their thinking, your thinking, and reevaluate constantly. Like, is this person actually good for me? Or am I just telling myself that? You know what I mean? You know what I mean? That's where the importance of debate comes from. I think that if everything was debated extensively, we'd be able to find most solutions to things, but there's something so angering to me, too, and something that just fucking sets my gears off when there's just, like, little tiny remarks, and you can tell that something's on the person's mind, but they're not speaking it, and they'll just be like, oh, yeah, okay. Like, you'll ask them how their day was, and it was like, it was fine. It's like, what do you mean? Tell me how your fucking day was, bitch. Don't disregard me. People ask how people's days are so habitually, but, I mean, don't just... Next time someone asks you, what's up? Someone asks you, hey, what are you doing this weekend? Don't just say, hey, not much. Tell them. Be like, you know what? I'm actually really excited about doing this, that. Dude, see how they react. If they react like they're weirded out by you being excited about something, That's a telltale sign right there. Ditch that person. That person's fucking toxic. If they're just expecting and just kind of float, you don't want those kind of people in your life. Debate and free will go hand in hand, I think. Like, you can't... Free will is definitely one of those weird things where it's influenced by their environment, but it's not guaranteed. It's when you're... You can try to force someone... Like, you ever see those Rick Lax Facebook videos? Oh my god, they're bad. And it's like, I'm a magician. I will choose a number based on what... I choose a number based on four questions that I ask you. And it's like, they'll ask questions with the word S that sound like 11 and Evan and heaven. And then you'll be like, oh my god, I was thinking of the number 7. And it's like, that's free will. But that free will was heavily influenced by what he told you seconds before. If you would have just started the video, let me guess what number you're thinking of. And then you say, fucking 21, bud. Am I thinking that? And he's like, 7. You'd be like, fuck, what? What is this bullshit? But that's not guaranteed. You're not every time going to guaranteed say 7, but you're more likely to say 7. So that's still free will. You still have the free decision to think of 7 or not. And it's up to you. There's, of course, free will can be heavily determined by the environment that the subject is in. But you're not going to... That's a weird thing. It's like product placement and advertising. You can watch a movie with all the Pepsi product placement advertisement in it. Like in Jack and Jill. A fucking click. That Adam Sandler. Yeah, him. He made that Jack and Jill movie, and there's, like, people in the movie drinking Pepto-Bismol for no reason. And, like, it's just weird, and it's obvious product placement, but, like, imagine how many people afterwards had a stomach ache and were like, you know what, I'll get Pepto-Bismol, because I seen someone taking it. There's a lot of people, and... And... You can't disregard those people and say that they're too heavily influenced by their environment, and you can't make those people seem stupid for buying a Pepsi because they've seen a Pepsi on screen, but, I mean, they're a little stupid. Free will isn't going to be something that's decided for you, but it's just something that's decided by you. And it's one of the biggest... questions that a lot of people have towards religious beliefs and our consciousness and whether we have a soul or not, or that whole fucking debate that's just way over my head. But the fact that we have something inside of us thinking for us, when you have a dream, when you go to sleep and you experience a vivid dream that you remember the next morning, you never made up that dream, but you made up that dream. That dream was affected by your environment, and what happened in the dream was affected by everything that you've done in your life prior to that dream. But that dream could also just be nonsense, and it could just be fucking, I don't know, a bunch of random-ass encounters in your life that are just compiled into a dream that does not make any logical sense. But then there's also some other dreams where you're like, huh. That could have even happened. It seemed so real. And we don't make up these dreams, but our free will, our subconscious, makes up these dreams. Something inside of us that is thinking for us. We're not telling it to think. We're not telling it what to think about or which topics to focus more attention and thought on. We just kind of do it. And I think that's a big part of being a product of your environment, is that we like to think that we're in control all the time, but we're not. A lot of decisions that we make and shit that we get put into, we were in control of removing ourselves from these situations, but leading up to that situation, you were just kind of there with some friends. Shit went down. You didn't start the shit that went down, but you definitely got part of finishing it. And now you're in legal trouble, or something along the lines of that. If, like, I'll say my childhood was pretty fucked up. I had a fucked up childhood, but I'm not a fucked up person. I mean, hey, take what you will by these podcasts, but I mean, you can, and like by a fucked up childhood, that could mean as little as anything as we were climbing up trees that were 40 feet up in the sky, that if we would have fell from, we would have easily died. I remember doing that as a kid. We've all done that. We do stupid shit as a kid, but we do them just because we're kind of there, and we just kind of like, we'll go with it. And looking back, you'd be like, I could have fucking died. I could have easily died. I could have easily fucked up, but it tends to work out. And we tend to, I gotta stop yawning. Bless me. We gotta stop pretending that people don't experience those things. That we are in control. Because we pretend today that every decision that we've made, we should be held accountable for. But why should you be held accountable for something that you've done 12 years ago? Like one of the new rappers, Lil Xanz, Xanxiety or whatever his name is. I forget what his name is. I actually forget what his name is. Zang, I don't know. Anyways. He was under 18 when he signed a deal with Warner Bros. And it was like a really long contract. But he was just a child when he signed it. He could have been locked into that contract for the next 10 years and making music with Warner Bros. That he only would get like 30% of the fucking profit, which is shit. I never read any of the percentages or the actual contract, but I'm just fucking pissing in the wind here. But because it was before he was 18, he signed that contract. Now he's completely out of it, and he owns all the rights to the songs too, because his name was on it. But Warner Brothers was in contract with a child, but now he's an adult. So there's a lot of legal shit going on. But I don't know. We look at childhood like before you're 18, you're not responsible. Then after 18, you're 100% responsible for everything. And I think that you should be responsible, and you should take responsibility. But, like, if you're going to have a child who signs over his life to some sitcom when he's 12 years old, and 3 years later he's barely making any money off of it, but the sitcom is huge, and he's realizing that exposure isn't as rewarding as it seems at first, and that, because that's a big misconception in entertainment industry, like, oh, you just going to the gig is enough. We don't need to pay you, because you'll get paid by a lot of other people after the gig, because you'll get lots of deals, and your phone will be ringing off the hook. This happens all the time. And then afterwards, they realize that, holy shit, I'm not getting as much money as I thought I would be. I'm not getting paid as much. So I want to renegotiate it, but no, I can't. I'm stuck in a contract. The fact that we let entertainment industry, any industry, do that to kids is dumb. We don't let our kids make decisions for themselves on other things. Why should they be able to be held accountable for the billions of dollars that is going to be generated in the music industry by kids? Think about that. They're not handling that money. They're not telling where that money is. Their agent is. The banks are. The banks are telling them what they should and should do with their money. And the banks are making tons of money off these people, especially when they go bankrupt. And you see this in sports. You see this in everything. You'll see a large amount of players that, even though throughout their 10-year career they made millions of dollars, they'll be broke because they don't know how to allocate and how to properly save that money. is that the... Like, I think that people definitely should be held accountable for that action, for their actions. But if you're just coming out of university, out of college football, and you get thrown into the NFL, and you're starting to make millions of dollars every year for your salary, would it not be beneficial for the banks to have you do what you can in that 10-year span, completely drain every penny from you, and then leave you broke? Leaving you having to get loans to pay off all these stupid fucking purchases you made. It's like, to me, that's obvious. To me, it's obvious that the banks would try to not help out these people, these athletes and these kids in these industries that are lost, that are financially going to be burdened for the rest of their life, even though they should be set. They should never have to work a day in their life, but because of bad guidance, they should be held accountable. Fuck that. I think the banks should be more held accountable. If you take in someone as your product, especially a kid who does not really understand, and you tell them, oh yeah, you just gotta do all this and it'll get you rich and famous, and they're like, yeah, I'm gonna sign over everything. Okay, I want to tell people... Everything is negotiable. If someone tells you that something is not negotiable, that means that they're not confident in what they have to offer in that negotiation. If you're forced to go through with a negotiation, there's probably going to be some sort of underlying factor that you're not seeing, and that it's going to bite you on the ass. If you see something that you don't like, speak out about it. If you're at a store... If you're at a clothing store and you're trying to return an item in your clothing, and when you bought it, they never took any of your information, like your phone number and your email address and your name and shit. If they never took that when you first bought it, and you have the receipt and you go to return it, and they say, sir, can we have your phone number, email address and all this shit? Just say no. You're allowed to say no at that point, because there's no point of them... going through with that. You're allowed to respect yourself on that end of the negotiation and say, no, I don't want to sign over this. There's no point of you having this sort of information about me. Man, I love doing that at every clothing store when they ask you for, like, random shit. And then you ask why. Like, why? To prove your purchase, sir. I have my receipt right here. This confirms my fucking purchase. Now give me my money for my stupid hat that I got for Christmas, you know? It's like, yeah, when you're returning a gift, you have to provide all this information and shit. When you never even bought it, you were just given the receipt and the gift and being like, hey, if you want to take this back, if it doesn't fit, here you go. It's funny. I'm getting pretty hungry. And this podcast is almost 2 hours in. We have a lot of content in this one, but I might even edit it down a little bit if there are points that are just being repeated, and repeated and repeated. I don't know. I feel like every podcast I'm going to be thinking in the back of my head, oh, you didn't cover enough topics, but how far? How long am I just going to keep going? Like, what else to talk about? What else to talk about? I get into these rants where it just feels natural for me to just start talking and start ranting, that I'll lose focus on what my point actually was at the start. But, I mean, along the way, we'll have some fucking points there eventually. How is there a fly in my room? It's the middle of January, literally. Aren't flies supposed to be dead and frozen? But yeah, I'm going to end it here. To rehash over a lot of my points, culture is a bullshit word. If someone tells you that you have to respect behavior because it's a culture, question it. I dare you. Just question it. Just be like, why? Why do they do that? Why do they do... Like, what is the point of fucking sacrificing a goat to the gods? And I mean, if they're doing it within reason and they're not harming anyone, just leave them be. Don't embarrass them. But don't be afraid to question shit. You know what I mean? That's what we're here for. We're meant to question stuff. That's what innovation is. It's looking at something that is incomplete or is complete, and you say, you know what? There can be more. There can be more to this. That's what innovation is. You're not going to get innovation from just being like, yeah, it's all fine. How was your job? It was fine. That's so sad to think that some people go through their entire life without even really getting excited about their job. If I were to do a podcast every day for the rest of my life, I'd be alright. That'd be pretty entertaining to me. You know what I mean? There's something about content and being my own entrepreneur that I crave. There's something ambitious and creative about it that's like, I don't know. Going to work every day is just not the same. It's not the same as this. But it could be the same. It could be bringing in just as much money, you know what I mean? But this is going to be free. Podcasts are supposed to be free. The consumerism is definitely leaning towards it's free on the consumer end. But, I mean, nothing's ever for free. Nothing that is ever offered is ever going to be offered for free. There's some sort of cost, rather, like, I mean, whether they're trying to gain information, like from a survey, they're trying to gain revenue, they're trying to gain a platform, a fan base. There's always going to be a cost to everything. So, and that cost of yours to listen to this is SoundCloud's advertisements and is the internet's advertisements. That's where everyone and all the work that gets put into it will get paid off. And that's why I say negotiations, all things are negotiable. If someone tells you that something isn't negotiable, they're not seeing it a different way. They're just thinking like, oh, this is just how it is. Yeah, bullshit. That's not how it is. That's what everybody says. So, what I want you to take from this podcast, ladies and gentlemen, don't be normal. Normal is boring. Normal is broke. And normal does the same damn thing every day. I want you to get excited about your job. Start getting excited about shit. And if you're not, then stir up the shit. You know what I mean? Don't take me too seriously. Obviously, that's a pretty big one. I mean, I'm a serious guy. I can get serious, but it's like, if you take some random ass dude who gives you advice on the internet, who cracks some mad jokes too seriously, then you're just gonna drive insane. You're gonna get insane because I'm going to say something that's going to offend you, and then I'm going to be unserious about it when you think I'm supposed to be serious about it, which will cause you to have resentment towards me, and it's just all a slippery slope. Don't take sides. The next conversation where you feel a sudden urge to get offended and correct the person for saying a controversial thing, ask them why they said it first. Look at the motivation and intention behind the words being said before trying to silence. You know what I mean? And that's everything for this episode, ladies and gentlemen. We're 2 hours in. We made it. If you enjoyed, please give my SoundCloud a follow. And I mean, I don't know how many platforms I'm going to be releasing this on, but I'm definitely going to be trying to get it more out there. But I like the free market. I just feel if I keep doing my own thing, and I keep trying to push what I'm pushing, eventually there's going to be some people out there who find this fucking entertaining, and I'm going to get a fan base. And that fan base is only going to drive me to keep going. And I mean, you can tell me that my podcasts are shit, and that no one gives a fuck, but that's only going to make me want to do it more. Because then I'm going to have someone to prove wrong, and that's just how my brain works. When I get like, you know, you get pushed down, stand back up, dust yourself off, say, like, you know what, now I have someone to prove wrong. Now I have someone who thinks I'm a piece of shit and who thinks that my podcast is nothing. Let me come back at them in 2 weeks with my, you know, with my list of accomplishments and be like, what did you do complaining? What did you get done complaining, motherfucker? I kept this podcast a lot more clean than the last one. The last one, I was embarrassed a little bit, but it was also just a sort of trial run. And so is this one, to an extent. But I want to thank everyone for the support for this podcast that I'm getting, especially close friends and family. It's a little surprising. I thought that most people would listen to 5 minutes of it and then just being like, he doesn't really care about my opinion. But I do. I do care about everyone's opinion. If you think it's wrong or if you think it's stupid that I'm doing this, tell me. Engage in a conversation with me. I don't mind it. I like conversation. It's my favorite thing. it's how we come out with good things. But that's everything for this episode, ladies and gentlemen. I know I've been rambling on for the past 5 minutes about trying to end this thing. But I want you to join me again next week. And the week after that. And the week after that. And the week after that. This is J. Roy signing off. Bye-bye.